6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Married to Reality. This is a very special episode we have today. I'm, of course, joined by my wife, Teresa, but this season of Happily Ever After, it's just so out of control. We needed to call in some backup, and we couldn't be happier to have Wah of the DocuSweeties with us to talk about this episode. Hello, Wah.
Hi. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. We are down a sweetie. Mm-hmm. Chris is off gallivanting somewhere, living her best life.
Best life. But
she missed out because we previously talked about the Ashley Madison docuseries, mm-hmm. which is sweeping the nation, much as Infidelity swept the nation back in 2015. So if you guys haven't listened to that, you should. It's over on the DocuSweeties channel. And tell everyone where they can find that and you and all that good stuff. Wow.
So you can find our podcast on any place that you listen to podcasts, number one. We do have the visuals on YouTube eventually, as well as a Patreon. So patreon.com/DocuSweeties. But we're on all the major social medias at DocuSweeties. Go to TikTok. I've been really doing my best work on TikTok. Give my videos some like. But yeah, I've had time. So I've just been like doing content. But yeah, so thank you guys so much for having me. It was such a good conversation on my channel. I know we're going to have a great conversation here because I love 90 Day Fiancé. I've been talking about them forever.
Let's do it then. Let's do it. If you guys aren't familiar with us, Married to Reality, it's Teresa and John, international couple. So we come at 90 Day Fiancé from that international couple's perspective. And I say we do it right now. I say we get into it. And we should start with, I don't know if it's everyone's favorite, but it's our favorite, Gino and Jasmine.
One of our favorites because I love most of our 90 Day couples. Let's just put it out there.
Before we dive into Gino and Jasmine completely, at least for this episode, can we do maybe a little spoiler? I don't know. Why, have you seen what's going on with Jasmine on Instagram? And maybe she's stepped out. Maybe she's on Ashley Madison. Is she stepping out on Gino?
Yes, and good for her because Gino can never give her what she wants. This episode really like helped me to see her side of it. Now, I will say that she's back. We haven't had a screaming Jasmine in a long time. And so it was really exciting to see her in her element, just throwing that smoothie on the ground and stomping her foot and bowing in front of the Dairy Queen. Like it was quintessential and classic.
I have a hard time believing, like, is it really real? Because strangely, I always saw some weird love between them. And now, like, and you know, I've been really feeling for her on this season, the whole kid situation. He fucked up the visa. You know, she can bring her kids. And now you're with a different guy. What about the kids? Where are the kids? What's going on with the kids? You know, like, was this all a lie? I don't want to say because that's not what I see. I, like, feel for her. I feel her sadness. So I don't know how I feel about this potential boyfriend.
It's because you don't think that anybody could fake loving to lick feet on national television.
Oh, don't remind me.
That's all. Welcome. Oh, I can't.
Is that why she threw her shoes at Gino? Yeah. Kiss the feet.
I mean, that is like licking someone's feet, but licking Gino's feet. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That was upsetting. Right. I shouldn't have brought it up.
Let's talk about what we saw this episode because they're back at the gym. Last time we saw him working out at the gym, Gino wasn't doing anything. He was sitting on the bench watching her. At least this time he's getting in on the action, or at least he's trying to.
Yeah, he wants to lose 15 pounds of his belly fat, apparently.
Well, that's what she wants him to lose, but I don't think he was trying at all.
No, he wasn't. Well, she wants him to be her beauty king because it's all about a pageant now. She wants to win the pageant. She wants to be a beauty queen. So Gino needs to be next to her as the beauty king. So he better hit the gym.
I think there was also maybe an ulterior motive because in one scene we saw him holding the heavy bag. She was punching. She was kicking. And she just happened to miss the bag and kick him in the balls. And that's one way to prevent children, Jasmine. Mm-hmm. I would say if you don't want to have kids with Gino, go for the balls. And that's what she did. I think she's trying to make him so he cannot impregnate her, maybe.
Also, if you're doing that, just put gloves on. Like, put boxing gloves. Like, she was about to, like, break her knuckles. And I know it because you and I, John, we've done kickboxing for a while. So you do need those gloves. And you need to wrap your little hands in those, what do you call it? It looks like toilet paper, but it's not.
Wraps.
Yes, wraps. Like, she was doing it all wrong. But kicking Gino in the nuts?
No, I mean, I feel like, honestly, she didn't actually kick him in the nuts. Like, that is the one fake thing that I was able to see. Because, I don't know, John, but doesn't that, like, take the breath out of you and make you fall to the ground?
Absolutely. Isn't
it? Yeah, it's pretty intense. And he didn't have the reaction I expected him to have when it came to that. And he's like, yeah, baby, kick, punch this bag like you're my family member who said something mean to you. And I'm like, you have been fighting her about your family being mean to her, and now you're actually acknowledging that they're doing it? Okay, this is a great time.
So basically, the fight here is that the pageant's a lot of money. Gino quit his job to welcome Jasmine to America, and so he can't afford this pageant. And so Jasmine can't deal with this information.
Yeah, I don't understand why he quit his job, because I think he's an engineer, or he has like a decent job. I think maybe they fired him because of all the stuff he does on 90 Day Fiancé. But like, why would you quit your job and now you struggle for money? You have a hard time. You know who Jasmine is. You know she loves to pamper herself. You know you're going to be paying for a wedding. You know you're going to be paying for shit ton of things. Why would you quit your job? It doesn't make any sense to me. Him saying, I want to be home with you. No, that doesn't make any freaking sense. I think he got laid off and has a hard time finding a new job because of what's going on TV, because not every employer wants to hire someone who's getting peed on at 8 p.m. on a Sunday. Like, I don't know.
Wow, that's a very poignant smell point that you made right there. So I can't tell you what's happening with his job. I can tell you just by the hungry man meals and the state of his home, clothes, house, and a car that he probably is just this miser who has all this money saved up. And that he wants to, you know, control it. I think that she called it out very, very astutely that he's the one who put the pageant in her face and then now is like going back and forth on whether or not he wants to, or he didn't put it in her face. The friend did, but he agreed to it. And now he's like, well, I can't bring your kids here and have you go to a pageant. And she's just like, you just want to control me. And he gets upset about that conversation and he wants to leave where she clearly wants to stay. And I was like, why don't you just go home and come back and pick her up? Or why can't she just Uber home? Like, what in 2023, well, I'm assuming this is filmed, in the year 2023 does this woman need to depend on you hand and foot? And so when he does that over just having the conversation about paying for the pageant, not about being kicked in the balls, he wants to leave all of a sudden. And then they go to a smoothie shop and she's pissed because she's like, you said you had to go home real quick or like, you know, in a hurry. So I agree that there's more nefarious behavior than we are aware of.
So to that point, and we touched on it at the top with Jasmine and having this other man, do you think maybe Gino doesn't want to go back to work because he needs to keep an eye on her? He can sense something is up and he wants to keep an eye on her.
I don't think so, but I think what Wah said about him having money saved, I believed it. I think he banked some money, but I think these are money he can live off of if he was single, right? Because he doesn't need much. Yes, he eats frozen dinners. He probably does fantasy football. He hangs out with his Italian family. Like, that's about it. Having Jasmine, someone like Jasmine, being your wife, you have to pay for the, you know, the wedding, the visa. The visa are costly. Even without the lawyers, it's $2,000 just for the papers. Like, he knew there are expenses coming, right? So him doing this, quitting the job, doesn't make any sense. But I don't think he wants to keep an eye on her, at least not at this point.
Wow. Do you watch Seeking Sister Wife?
I'm supposed to be, but no, okay. I haven't seen it since the first episode of, or the second episode of this season.
Oh, Gina was giving Nick Davis vibes because he was like, I don't just sit at home, Jasmine. Yeah. I'm reading important stuff. Yeah. It was very Nick Davis-esque where, oh, I read and I educate. And so he's not just sitting home doing nothing. He's reading
Nick
important
Davis,
stuff.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Nick Davis is a whole other level. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Nick Davis has his wives making the money. Mm-hmm. Gino, no one's making money for Gino. Like, at least if you want, just have Jasmine to make the money when she can.
Nick is living in a fantasy where, as a black man, and I'll just speak that he feels like it's perfectly normal for him to just want to stay home and read science books. And, like, that's, like, I was like, you are so lucky. That is, like, such a non-usually black person thing to think that they could ever do in life. It's just... live and learn through life.
He knows how to do polygamy. Like, if anyone on these shows know how to do polygamy, it's Nick Davis.
It's Nick,
He needs to stop reading books and start writing books because he has a lot that he can teach us men, I think.
Yeah. And all the ladies are, like, obsessed with him. Like, to the point that they're like, oh, we're good with making money, taking care of everything, as long as Nick can just focus on himself and his reading.
That could never be me.
Like, he won the lottery. Like, they're all, like, very, like, pretty women. They have a kid. They take care of him. Yeah. They have a jacuzzi now. I'm like, damn.
Okay, wrong show. So we're in the car. We're leaving the gym. And Gino's like, I want a smoothie right now. And come on. You just told your wife that you don't have time for cardio, but you have time to stop and get a strawberry banana smoothie, apparently.
So basic.
I'm hungry.
I think I want a smoothie right now, Jasmine. So
I mean, I feel him on the smoothies. I'm a big smoothie fan and I make John to go and get smoothies all the time. But not if we're trying to do something or as he was trying to do something else.
Yeah, there's a time and a place for a smoothie, and this is not the time nor the place. And then when they get the smoothies, he's like, you know what? I think I'd like to sit out here on the sidewalk and drink my smoothie.
Yes, which is an add insult to injury. And she's like, what are you doing? So you want to, like, and I was like, yeah. And then he's like, you should be grateful. You should be grateful that, and which is like the one thing the American man usually leans back on, which is like, I did all this for you, and, you know, what do I get out of it? Like, me as your wife sitting next to you trying to suck your toes and do whatever you need me to do, like, on the side. So
you can see Jasmine's, like, boiling. Like, she's getting, like, more and more, like, upset. I'm like, oh, we're going to get the real Jas very, very soon. And we did. Well,
she's starting to feel like everything he does is just to control her. And she's reached her breaking point where she doesn't want to be controlled anymore. She wants to take her life into her own hands, and she wants to take a smoothie into her own hands and smash it on the ground and then throw her shoes at Gino.
Yeah, at first I was like, why did she do it? And then I heard, or you told me, John, that it's because he bought her the shoes. So now she's like, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And she starts walking down the sidewalk in her socks. Not a great idea, Jasmine, just saying. I mean, but that's where we ended with Gino and Jasmine.
Yeah. Yikes.
Well, we keep hearing and seeing all the rumors that they're going to be on The Last Resort.
Oh, yeah.
So if it's true and she does have a new man, I guess The Last Resort was not really successful. But we'll see. I don't want to think about it because I don't know if I believe it, guys. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe I'm being a little naive here, but I always like to believe what I see on the TV shows. Mm-hmm. And I don't really try to watch spoilers unless they come my way, which they often do. So then I question them until there is, like, a solid answer. And I don't think we have the solid answer yet.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But I will say that I can't wait to see her on The Single Life. So
Jasmine on The Single.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
It's going to be great.
Well, speaking of The Last Resort, it did work for one couple. It worked for Angela and Michael, who we see Angela impatiently waiting for Michael to get out of Pisby's interview. Well, Wah is sucking on a whiteout, I think, or something.
It's my my cuticle nail.
Oh.
Oil. So, you know. But
there we go.
Right now it's a cigarette.
Okay. It's,
yeah. Here is like the biggest shocker of all. Angela's waiting for Michael, trying to wait for Michael while he's interviewing at this cafe. And the waiter thought she was French. Out of all the people in the world, you think Angela, the woman who's wearing American flags from head to toe, is French?
Non, merci.
We went to Paris last year. That's what John learned.
I cannot catch that at all. But she was like, like calling him over. Like he's, I didn't know what she was doing to get him to. And then we see him and he's beautiful. And she's like, merci beaucoup. I don't, yo shui, como se llamas, andale, por favor. I don't speak French. And he's like, oh no, I speak English. And she's like, oh,
yeah.
Want to go out later so I can suck your dick? You know,
so we can flirt now. Okay.
He started speaking French to her. I was like, dude.
She has an American flag draped over her shoulders.
Literally. She looks more American than anyone ever on the show. And just because of the amount of American flags she wears. Like, she has so many American flag outfits. I don't know if you guys pick up on it, but she does love red, blue, and white.
Yeah, yep. Well, she's from a place where people love to wear American stuff. And when they're on TV, when they go abroad, they love to... America.
Represent. I mean, mm-hmm. Represent.
Yeah, we've gotten into that conversation once or twice before, especially with Chuck of Living Andre.
I bought an American flag shirt, actually, because John and I, for Halloween, we went as Angela and Michael. So I bought this American flag tank top that I put like big balloons in. Because I don't have the boobs that she does, and so yeah, I should wear it sometimes.
Yeah, but you can wear it in America. I think it's ridiculous to wear it when you're visiting another country.
Yeah, it is.
Embrace the other country.
Full disclosure, I remember when I was a child, there was this store. It was called the New Yorker, but it was German. It was like, you know, clothing store. It's like Century 21, right? We all loved it. It was super popular. They did sell a lot of stuff in American flags.
Okay. Mm. I think that's different, though, if the other country is selling it. To bring your American flag t-shirt to Nigeria or Czech or France and wear it, it's just a head scratcher for me.
Yeah, I do agree.
All right. So she's waiting. She's finished flirting and she's texting Michael like, where are you? He's not responding. So she's just sitting there burping, twitching, nervously waiting for Michael. And finally he appears.
Here he is. And I was like, I thought he got it. I thought he got it. And apparently he didn't get it. Once again, he got denied, but not fully, which is something I don't understand. But he's starting to explain. Angela's like losing her shit. She's like freaking out and she gets very aggressive. And like whenever she does that, I'm always like, oh my gosh, Michael, just run. Just don't even try to get that visa. Just don't. Just tell her this is it and run.
Well, he did run, but he waited to get here to America to run.
Don't do it. She's like, Michael, nobody else has to go through this. Michael, this is not fair, Michael. I've been waiting for 7 long years. And, you know, what'd you say? What'd you do? Like, she's just so upset with him. And he's like, baby, Angie, baby, calm down. It's okay, Angie, baby. No, she's like, no, Michael, you tell me exactly what you said to that lady. And the thing is that Michael has been with this woman for 7 years and he still does not understand that he either needs to be super solid in his lies or not tell the lie.
Yeah.
And he is still doing it.
He's a bad liar. Like he's a very bad liar. Yes. Yeah, like when he came through and said he got a BJ from someone else.
Yes, I
did the BJ. I did the BJ.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
You got to love the honesty.
I did the BJ.
So the other thing he did apparently is requested to move interview locations. Maybe it was going to take too long or it was delayed. So he moved his interview from one city to the next.
One country to the next.
Okay. He moved how?
Because I don't know. He said he's from Nigeria. So he took the thing from Nigeria and brought it to the Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire. So, like, wow. So they're currently in the Ivory Coast, which is a French colonized African country, which is why they speak French there.
Yeah.
Oh, whereas okay. Lagos, that makes a little more sense.
Nigeria like, is English colonized. So that's why he speaks English and Yoruba.
So I don't understand that at all because, for example, John and I, we've been through this. Well, we went through not K-1 or anything, we went through
spousal?
The green card. No, green card. I was here already on my work visa. But for us, let's say, to request a change of city or town, we would need to file a paperwork saying we have moved and show them our new address. So that's why we're requesting to change it. You cannot just change it. Like, I can just tell them, like, oh, instead of like wanting to go to the immigration in Miami now, I want to do it in New York. Like, I can't do it.
Yeah, and I don't know how it happens where you could just do it in the neighboring country. It's like, oh, well, this embassy is booked. We're going to send you to a country you don't even belong to see if they'll give you a visa.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like if they did it, like if the embassy did that, that makes sense. My clinic questioning is makes zero sense to me.
But we don't know that he did that. He's not explaining it well enough. He says that I don't know. He says that he asked for that to happen, but the fact that they did it, to me, means that it can happen.
Yeah, I think he was saying, oh, I couldn't get a date at the original office that I wanted, so then it was moved. Either way, Angela thinks this is the reason you didn't get approved this time.
Well, maybe it was because he did get denied twice before, and he was trying to maybe in a different country, if it's possible, I may not get denied.
Well, they said... Michael was saying, oh, the interviewer wanted to look into why I was denied so many times. And so that's what this holdup is. But don't worry, it's still on track. In a week, we're going to get the answer. So he's still hopeful. Mm-hmm. Angela's trying to find the waiter to go on a date tonight.
And get more beers and Coca-Cola.
Exactly. Yeah, the breakfast of champions.
That woman drinks zero water. Like, she doesn't drink water. I don't understand
like
how she lives.
That's like, what she says.
You need water.
Like water.
Well, she looks very dehydrated.
Yeah. Very
so dry.
Yeah.
So dry.
Very, very.
Okay. Anything else for Angela and Michael?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm. I mean, we all know that eventually Michael will get approved. So this is, I'm just curious what it's going to take for him to get approved.
Yeah. Oh, did you just notice? Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I said,
I think that Angela.
you go. Popcorn wa.
Did you know that Angela is now, so because I'm on TikTok a lot, I do see the lives of different people. And so on her last video, she put out a video where she's like, hey guys, she is no longer just doing free lives. You have to join her membership in order to do the lives because she's in some kind of litigation with Michael and she said something wrong. She's been saying wrong things and like getting in trouble for it. So now she's like making it members only. And if you want to, she's like, I'd rather have 10 people who know what's up and who knows what was real than, you know, a bunch of people. And I'm like, Angela, your membership is what? $10? How much is that membership? People who are really trying to go down like, will just pay the $10 for you to say something crazy within the first week, month, or whatever of them being on it. So she's so silly. But yeah, she's definitely trying to mock and mimic him because he goes live on TikTok all the time and she watches. So she did a video where that was talking about him, but pretending not to talk about him. It was weird.
Yikes.
Well, I'm still curious because they've been married for 3 years, right? So he's getting spousal visa, which my understanding, and I might be wrong, is that he's getting the green card. They don't have to do K-1 again because they are a married couple. So I believe that he's here legally now and he can do whatever he wants. Mm. But I might be wrong. Otherwise, how would he still be here? It's been a few months
as a refugee
since this whole thing went down. refugee from Angela.
Yeah, refugee from Angela, for sure. That he got here and she was domestically abusive. And so, you know, now he's protected, I guess. The same way Muhammad of like, Emmy and Eve, I love her so much. You ever had to do that too?
Oh, that's a good point. Like, you can file for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, we'll find out more. Okay.
Let's move on. Smollett and Liz, where not much happened. We saw Smollett, he's got a job now and he's touring some new construction. My only thought here is, could you imagine being a woman alone in a house with Smollett? He's a realtor and my mom is a realtor and she's had to go on some showings by herself with men and my dad has been concerned. I'm worried about the opposite here. I'm worried about Smollett going on showings with innocent women.
Yeah.
It scares me.
It does scare me too, but I'm glad that his boss is like really testing him. Like, it's like he's in school. It's like, okay, how do you do this? How do you know this? Do you know why we don't have a fridge here? And Smollett is kind of failing. Like, he did not study too well, which doesn't surprise me. But that's all we kind of see about Smollett in this episode. Yeah,
he's a moron. And Liz was just at the airport. We learned, I guess, maybe someone knew. I did not. Riley goes to school in another country with her dad and stepmom. So she was being sent to this other country. We don't know what country it is.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Apparently, Liz only gets Riley for the summer and school holidays, and that's it. So just, it's kind of sad.
Good for Riley. I mean, 10-year-old, multiple flights, international flights, layovers, for her to be able to do all that.
Also good for Riley, because that seems like a more stable environment than what Liz was providing for her. But it is sad, you know, like, she's her mom. So hopefully she can get free of Smollett. Doesn't seem like it right now, because she's struggling. We see her crying over him over and over and over. But one day she will get there. I'm hopeful for her.
All right. So that was it really for them. And then we go to Brazil for Patrick and Thais. And John. Can't forget about John.
Yeah. Here's still my thing. Like, why is John there? I think John's there because between Patrick and Thais, there's nothing going on. Like, you know, they're a mom and dad. They have a cute kid. They have a semi-swell dog. It's like, they have John to bring the drama. That's it. That's why John is in Brazil.
Yeah. And that's a perfectly good reason for him to be there.
I mean, take it.
Yeah, I accept it. John always adds an element. He is like a natural character. And so none of it's forced, none of it's faked. But he's Patrick is like, oh, you made it. It's Thais's birthday. Tell her happy birthday. He's like, yeah, nah, I'm not gonna text her. I'll tell her in person. You know,
how shitty is this? It's Thais's birthday and you're going out for a beer with your brother without her.
Yeah.
Well, she got that baby to take care of. So
yeah, she got that.
Right.
But the baby could have come out too, no? Can babies
no,
go
you're
to
right.
the bar?
Women have to women. And so she was womening while the boys had their beers.
Yeah. I'm glad John is here, because it seems like Patrick and the relationship he has with his dad is not as pure as maybe we thought. When we saw it, it's like, oh, Patrick, he finally has this nice relationship with his dad. It took him a while. He's helping his dad. His dad is older. But now John is saying, I think your dad is using you. And I feel like I had a hard time saying it, because I have a thing for old people. So whenever I see someone old, I'm like, oh, you did nothing. You're good. Come over. I'll help you. I hug you. I cook for you. I'll do anything. And
that's
so like
so
me
funny.
Seeing Carlos, I was like, oh, like, he's just an older man and he wants to spend time with his dad. But I guess it's not that. John's saying it.
Yeah. I could tell that was the case. Like, I think from season one, we got a little bit of like, yeah, my dad didn't stick around. So we knew the mom and the dad were married, but the dad just like left. And so from that decision to just leave and not be in Boston anymore or Las Vegas, and the family went through some really hard times, I'm like, how did Patrick... His mother went through hard times, and Patrick should have been cool if his father was around, you know? So, like, I always figured he was that. And when Thais is like, he's using you at even the laundry list of things that he wanted Patrick to do, I'm like, but Patrick is paying rent at this apartment. But then is he the only person paying rent there? And you want him to then fix it up for what? It's his house. What?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
We were, T and I were kind of going back and forth on this, because that was a couple episodes ago when Jose came by with the paint and said like, oh, good to see you, but really it'd be awesome if you could paint this apartment. And I'm torn, because you should help your parents, right? It's nice to help your parents when they need help. But also, parents can take advantage of their children. Like, it's ignorant to say, oh no, a parent can never take advantage of a child. Of course they can. And so I'm on the fence of whether Jose was or was not kind of overstepping his bounds here.
Well, I get that, but I feel like maybe because my parents live in a different country too, I don't see them too often. Same with Patrick. Not that they ask me to do stuff when we visit, they take care of us. It's amazing. But if they did ask me to do stuff, like, I wouldn't say no. Like,
but
you could help them.
But you're not paying their rent.
No. But yeah. I'm saying if they ask me to, I would. Like, let's say if my parents lost their jobs and there's nothing they can do, like, I would help them out.
Of course.
Would not just let them live on the street. So it's like, I can see how it might seem like he's like using him. But at the same time, like, you don't know. We don't know exactly, you know, what's going on with Carlos. However, I feel like if John is talking about
Jose,
someone who's known him.
Jose. Carlos is.
Thank you.
Thais.
Jose, yeah. But I'm saying is like now when like John comes into the mix and says something similar, aligned with what Thais was saying, someone who actually has known him for a while, I'm like, well, maybe there is something more sinister in that relationship.
So here's my thought. My dad's Belizean. I'm American. I was born here. If my dad owned property in Belize that I rented, then when I went to Belize to stay in said property with my baby, my new lunged baby, and I get there and my dad comes from wherever and is like, hey, I need you to paint this his house. I'd be like, one, why didn't you hire some of these men hanging around here to paint this place? Two, no, I've got a baby. And this baby's not going to inhale fumes of paint because you couldn't hire some person around here who will take one quetzal or one, you know, whatever the dollar is, money
that's
is. Like, yeah. So like that's my thought. It's that. And then Patrick is, you know, like, oh, I'll come to the ranch and help. Like, that's a little different, like going to the ranch and help. But like then expecting Patrick to do home improvement on a space that he rents that hopefully the father would have other renters or a way for, I don't know. It's just, it was weird. So I think John kind of solidifying the fact that he is a user and wasn't the greatest guy. And then Patrick not being able to like, not that he can't understand it, but he's like, that's my dad. Like, what do you want? My dad's shitty and he's a terrible person, but like, that's my dad's the only one I got. So like,
yeah,
that was kind of a weird reaction too.
I completely agree with you. I kind of feel like we know Jose was not the best father. We know he was a bit absent. And so now Patrick is doing anything he can to earn his dad's love and affection. And so he's kind of blinded to like, oh, yeah, he's taking advantage of me. Yeah, I'm paying him money and he could use that money to hire help. He's just going to do anything he can to win over his dad and earn his dad's affection and love because his dad was never there showing him love. And so he is. He's actively being taken advantage of just to win his father's affection.
Yeah.
Sad.
It is sad, so, but at the same time, like, there is some relationship. So,
daughter. Teresa's such a good daughter.
I don't know. I just, like, don't want to, like, judge entirely because there is a part of me that I can't understand it.
We're here to judge, Teresa. We're here to judge.
Totally, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I can see the point. Like, I can see why maybe Carlos is doing what he's doing.
Jose. So
so bad at names.
It's so, specifically Jose.
Jose.
It is Jose.
Okay.
I mean,
how do
speaking of Carlos, he's not the best dad either, but.
Oh, Carlos is hot, though. He doesn't have to be a good dad. He's a fine-ass man.
How do you feel about John forgetting to make a hotel reservation? You know, should you just be able to stay with your brother automatically?
He didn't make a hotel reservation. He didn't make one to begin with. He thought that dude couch surfs. He has no permanent address in the U.S. unless he's still with Megan. He lived in his brother's whatever it was storage room. He lived with Patrick and Thais. Of course, he didn't make a reservation. I almost feel like Thais should have expected it. Like that's kind of almost like I don't want to say it's on her, but she should have known. If the guy doesn't have an apartment in Vegas, he's not gonna book a hotel in Brazil. He's gonna stay with them.
Yeah, culturally, like I would not expect my sibling to stay somewhere else if I had a place for free.
Yeah,
same.
It's also just a dumb excuse though, of like, oh, the reservation got messed up, or even I forgot. It's like, you could just go to the hotel now and book a room. Like,
book
so
it.
The lying to me is what makes it worse.
Yeah.
Just be like, yeah, Thais, he's my brother and we have a room, so he's going to stay here. To just add insult to injury with the lying, that's too much for me.
John keeps saying, he's like, just for like a day or two. It's like, well, where are you going to go then, John?
Yeah. You're not in Brazil for a day or two. Like, what are you talking about? The lying is weird. I don't understand grown people lying to other people. I don't get that at all.
Like, especially about like stupid stuff. It's like,
also,
why?
It's on TV, and Thais will eventually learn that it's a lie.
Mm-hmm. She's going to learn at the towel, and then going to get into a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pain in my ass.
Cute baby, though.
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Ashley and Manuel, back in New Jersey. Ashley is stressed.
Back in New York.
Oh, back from New Jersey, I should say.
Yeah, back from New Jersey, Rochester.
Yeah, back to New York. Ashley's stressed, overwhelmed, sad, confused. So she needs her witch potion from her cousin Jasmine.
Well, Jasmine says it's not a witch potion. It's a medical spa. It's IV. Like, let's just call it what it is. Because I don't think Jasmine really believes in all this witchiness. Well, I don't know how you feel about it, Wah. Like, do you believe in all that stuff?
No. But I believe that people believe it, and it's fun.
And that's what it is. It's fun. And to me, this is proof that Ashley is just playing make-believe, because you have this professional here going, this is medical, this is an IV. And Ashley's like, yeah, it's my witch potion. It's like, you're playing make-believe, and that's fine if you want to play dress up and pretend and you're a witch, but just admit that that's what you're doing, is you're playing.
Jasmine's like, this is a real establishment, and we would like to have customers after you leave here, which is why we allowed it to be filmed in this space. So if you could stop saying that it's witchy, that would be really helpful for us.
Yeah, we have the FDA. We have to be compliant. We can't just be throwing out claims and terms here, actually.
Well, she's getting the IV, which I was like, oh. I always thought you get an IV when you're dehydrated and you're too drunk and they bring you to the ER to get an IV, or, you know, you get heat sick, you get an IV. I didn't know you can get IV for fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can.
Really? Yeah. What does it do to you? I mean, besides the hydration.
Yeah, just like infuses minerals and vitamins into your bloodstreams, apparently. Oh. I've never done it, but Chris goes all the time.
Really? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's all the rage now. People are doing it.
I thought, like, when we have family in Vegas, when we go to Vegas, they have all these, like, you put the air in your nose.
Yes, I've seen those too.
Yeah, to, like, really, like, clear you up after a night of drinking, which for me, I'm like, it's great money. Like, you're paying for air. You have air everywhere, and people are going to go and pay for, like, super clean air that helps you with the hungover stuff. I feel like, you know, IV, something like that.
It is. I'm not going to go somewhere and have somebody just stick me with a needle for the fun of it. Like, that's not my cup of tea. I don't like getting IV when I go to the doctor. Why would I do it any other time?
I heard it doesn't really work, to be honest. Really? I've heard people who've done it for hangovers and like, it doesn't really help. I think maybe more of a placebo than anything.
I don't hate needles. I don't know what it says about me, but I don't know if I would just, as you said, well, like, if doctor does it, sure. But if like a random person does it somewhere, I don't know.
So, okay. They're talking while they're getting the IV. And the topic of conversation is money. Ashley is continually giving Manuel money, more and more money. They agree to $200 monthly, but he's been asking for more. So she just put $1,000 into his bank account and has no idea what he's doing with that money.
Yeah, how come he has a bank account but he doesn't have his papers yet? Like, it can be his bank account from Ecuador, but then why don't they have a joint bank account that he can withdraw money from so she knows exactly what's going on if she's so curious?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think she should have to know what he's doing with the money personally, because I think if the gender roles were swapped, And he would be like, what are you doing with this money? Like, I would feel a certain ways about it. Also, if they agreed to 200 and she gives more than 200, then, you know, that's on her. She's the one who has control of it. And so it just feels weird. This fight, obviously, it's like coming from another place. She said it's because her father wasn't there, but like, I don't think that's where it's coming from. She's been cheated on a lot.
Yeah,
I agree and I disagree. I think if you're going to give the $1,000, you gave it and you're shit out of luck. You should have asked where it was going before. And if you don't know, then why did you give it? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think there should be some transparency with the money. I don't know if it is a gender thing or not, but I think there should be transparency with the money, especially if she's the one making the money and they've agreed, hey, we're going to give you this money. I would want to know where the money was going. I think Therese would want to know where the money's going.
If I was Ashley and said there is a $200 that we're going to send to his family, I would want to send it to the family because why would you? Why would I send it to your bank account and then you send it to your family? Like, are you sending it to your family? Like, I feel like, or as I said, like, have a joint bank account and send it from there, which you agree on. Because, there should be transparency. If it was his own money, if he has a job, when he has a job making money, sure. I don't need to know what John does with his money. Like, when if he goes on a shopping spree and buys 59 shirts, which happens all the time, then it's like, it's his money. And that's fine as long as he contributes what we decided to contribute to our joint bank account, right? But let's say if John wasn't making any money, and then I would want to know what you do with the money I make.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's where you stump me as a married couple. So I'll lean on you guys for that. But in my mind, I don't want to be suspicious or mad or frustrated. So what I'm going to do to avoid that is to just not give the money if that's what's going to happen. Once I hand it over, then I can't be like, what are you doing now with it? Because it's like, I shouldn't have given it to you. I just want to save myself peace. That's what I want to
do. And that makes total
drama.
Sense. I also feel like if they had a nice and good trusting relationship, maybe, you know, this would be, of course, he's sending it to his family. Of course, he's using it for something he needs. There is no trust. So she's giving him money. He's not telling her what he does with it. Of course, it's pissing her off and she's being suspicious.
So Jasmine has a solution. She says, you should probably look into a post-nup. That may protect you and make you feel better. So Ashley and Manuel go out to eat and she brings up this post-nup idea. And I was actually kind of surprised. Like, Manuel took it better than I thought he was going to take it.
Yes. And I really want to see this segment on the next episode because from the previews, I love previews, we've learned some interesting things about Ashley and her finances. So,
yeah, I actually think that if he had gotten upset about the post-nup, then he was probably there for the nefarious reasons. Like, honestly, because as a man, and this is me as being sexist, as a man, he should not want to take everything that his wife has built before. He should be hell-bent on building whatever he needs to build for his family. I mean, because the other side of coming to America, not only him wanting to love her and grow old with her and all these things, is that he came here for a better life for his family back in Ecuador. And so part of that is providing and getting enough money to be able to give to them and to take care of his wife. So I was not surprised at his reaction, even though I know he had a bigger one because he was taking a long time eating that delicious chicken before he would respond to her.
He just seems to explode anytime there's any conflict. And so I was expecting a little bit more from him. But you're totally right. He would be showing his cards if he did explode. And so he played it right, whether that was the way he truly felt or if he just knew that this is the way I should act. Yeah, he was like, okay, if you want to go see a lawyer, let's go.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand, you know, if his whole family depends on him, I guess it makes sense. I think they do, but then at the same time, he should have thought of it before coming to the U.S. Like, maybe he should have saved up more money and postponed him coming to the U.S. so he can take care of them back home, because that's what he was doing before. He was taking care of his family, right? So now he's here and he's relying on Ashley to take care of his family. I don't know if it's how fair it is. And I know this sounds maybe bad, but you cannot just expect for someone to just spend money on other people And then you tell her what not to spend money on, how to do this, how to do that, and lie to her.
You're right. I just think, so my family's not from Ecuador, but my family is from Central America. One, there's a overarching, hard to get from under umbrella where they unilaterally believe that Americans just have more money. They don't understand that credit cards exist. Okay. And that majority of the things that you see an American with is on credit of some kind, car, home, like whatever that is. Right. One, that's the biggest thing. And that's a really hard idea to break away from because they just, that is what they've taught. That is what they think. That is what they believe. The next thing is that a lot of people cannot afford to save money. Like they make the amount of money that they need in order to live. And then it's very much like, if you don't go to work, you don't eat. And so if that's the kind of world and environment that he comes from, like I could definitely see him not having that. Like a lot of people don't save up for their old age. They depend on sending a kid or a cousin or someone to the States to work, to send money back, or they depend on the younger people, their children, to take care of them when they get older. There is no like savings. There's no government, you know, Social Security. There's nothing like that. So it is about the family unit and how able-bodied people within the family can support each other that way. So yeah. If that's the kind of thing he came from, and I think that's something that's really hard for the Americans to understand, is that it's not just like, well, stop giving your mother money. Your parents and everyone is using you. You know, and we see it in anybody who comes from the Caribbean too, like Johan or any of those folks who are trying to get to the US to make a better life for themselves. It's because the familial unit is the one that keeps you afloat when your job doesn't pay you. Like sometimes these employers just don't pay people.
Yeah, I know, and I totally get that. I totally respect it. I don't see it. For example, my parents, they would rather live on the street than ask me for money ever. They literally, we just don't, right? That's the, I don't know if it's necessarily check thing or if it's just me and my family, but we don't talk about money. We don't talk about things like this. We have no idea what's going on in our lives. Unless someone drops a hint the other person can pick up on, we just don't even go there. But I respect what you said, Boa, and I get it. But I feel like in that case, Manuel needs to be more transparent and appreciated. Ashley sending $200 to his family, then if she gets her IV for $50, who cares? Like he needs to respect what she does with her own money because she is helping his family.
And that's what rubs me the wrong way is when they were having this meal and he was like, well, how much did the IV cost? It's like, well, if you guys agree to this amount of money to send, then you should let her do what she wants with her money that she isn't sending. And so I think it's not that she's sending money. That is beautiful. And that is what family is about. And I respect that. It's you questioning every penny she spends because you're making it seem like, well, you should be sending that to my family as well. It's like, well, she should be able to do what she wants with her money, too. So that's where it gets a little sticky for me. But okay.
Yep.
Shall we move on to Lauren and Alexei, who also didn't have much going on this episode, except
shout out to
Rosh Hashanah. Happy New Year. And Teresa is promising to make me a challah. So
I will make you a challah because I was talking to one of our friends and I promised her I will make a challah too. So now I have to.
stay tuned, friends on Instagram. There will be photographic evidence.
If I can braid it, because that seems like the toughest part.
I think that is the toughest part.
I'll try to do a six braider, but sorry.
it's Rosh Hashanah, and Lauren is in recovery, and Alexei thinks, what a great way to get her mind off the pain is to have the family over and celebrate Rosh Hashanah together as one family. So that's what they're doing. They're celebrating at home.
Yes, and it's mom's dad, Alexei's dad, Lauren's mom, helping because Lauren can't do it and she feels bad about it. And I get it. Like I feel bad too if I can't do something. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like first of all, I judge everyone else doing that. I'm like, this is not how we do it. But talking about you, John, of course I am. But I feel for Lauren that she wants to be helping with the kids. She wants to be helping cooking, right? But she did a mommy makeover. That's what she wanted to do. That's what she decided. So like, she should just take it easy, recover, and then get back to your life.
And I'm glad she took ownership of like, this was elective. I did choose to do this. And so she's not sitting there like, woe is me. She's just saying like, yep, I put myself in this situation and it is what it is. and I wish I could eat that delicious brisket, but instead I have to go rest and recover in the bedroom.
I have a question. I don't watch their segment, but do you think, I did catch a little bit, but do you think that the mother judges Lauren because she's like, you don't want to look like me? You don't want to look like this? You're ashamed of me.
I think that's an interesting take, and I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case, because I get pre-surgery mom freaking out, because no parent wants to see their kid go under the knife, especially if it's elective, because we know it can happen. But now she's out. She's on the other side. She made it. She's recovering, and mom is still upset. So you're right. There may be something to that.
Maybe, but I honestly, because just kind of like thinking of my own mother, I don't think that's how she felt. I think she was upset that she's doing a surgery because, you know, she wasn't fat. She wasn't ugly or anything. Like, she was a beautiful girl. She had three freaking kids. She looked great before. I can understand what Lauren was going through with, like, if you don't feel good in your own body and there's something you can do about it, go for it. You know, mom saw her as a beautiful young woman. So she was like, you're doing all this. It's unnecessary. It's expensive. You won't be able to do this and that. That's exactly how my mom would react. Like, when I told my mom I'm going to do Botox, she's like, why would you do Botox? You look like you're 20 years old. I'm like, I don't, mom. Well, stop lying to me. But she's like, why would you do it? This is unnecessary. You don't need it. Like, oh, it's a waste of money. I'm like, that's why I would not even tell my mom. But I think that's how maybe her mom reacted to this whole thing, because she didn't think she needed it, and now she's in pain. And
it's over now, though. And so, mom, you gotta positive vibes only. Like, you can't be mad anymore. It's done. What's done is done. You gotta move on.
No, I'm telling you, like, her mom reminds me of, like, that's the reaction my mom would have. Like, 100%. Like, she would try to call John, and with a Google Translate, be like, John, tell her she doesn't need it.
All right. Well, that was it for them. And then finally, Emily, Kobe, and the knock door. Mm-hmm. The knock door process is in full swing, although Lisa is still trying to throw a wrench in things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She is. It's so weird. I'm like, what producer keeps pushing this narrative? Stop it. It's so unnecessary. We already are getting all the newness of the family being there and Emily cooking the eru. And, you know, it's like, we don't need this naysayer. Now, I will say that I was a little disappointed in Lisa's reasoning for not wanting her daughter to be property. I thought she was going to, like, say, you know, in the Americas, we have a really bad history when it comes to treating people like property. And, you know, that's not something that I want to my grandchildren to see as, you know, as Black people, not descendants of that, but Black people who live in America. But no. She's completely just in her own world and refers to the suffragettes, which to me are problematic because they did not want Black people to have the vote either when they were trying to get their own vote. They didn't care about Black women, Black men. So it was just like, I was like, oh, what an interesting take.
Well, do you think she was dancing around the fact, because I'm thinking the same thing as you, but I almost think she was dancing around that fact and didn't know how to verbalize it properly, so she just stayed away from it. But I think we're all sitting there at home going, like, we know what you're trying to say, Lisa.
Oh, I just can't imagine it. Her and her husband have verbalized a lot of things on this show. Not being able to say we have a history with people being property in my country that I don't like to, you know, think, I don't know. I don't know about people and their guilt. I don't know.
She ended up giving in, which was the right thing to do. And look, I see where Lisa was coming from, whatever her reasoning is, like, and you're allowed to have your thoughts and opinions, and she voiced them. I just think she should have dropped them for the sake of tradition a little sooner.
I think she should have dropped it at all, because, you know, every country has their own traditions. Like, Czechs have some weird-ass traditions. I would want John to respect them. Whether he feels about it a certain way, tell me. We can talk about it, the two of us. But, like, don't disrespect my family. And he wouldn't. Like, I know he would play along whether he's going to like it or not. So I feel like Lisa and Dave, and David was playing alone for a very long time, which was good. But I feel like they should have just, obviously, no one's going to take Emily away. No one's going to, you know, like, it's a tradition. And Kobe explained it pretty well. So just play with it. Like, what's her name? Emily. Emily was saying, like, hey, yeah, no, this is tradition. I'm okay with it. If your daughter's okay with all this, just be good parents and support.
Yeah. It was weird. It was just like, you know, she's getting on a plane and going back to the right. U.S. with you. Like, she's not going to be here once a year, or even now they can't because of what's happening in Cameroon. So, like, it's like, what exactly is the fear? You're not going to keep the goat. You're not going to keep the palm oil. I mean, wine, and you're not everything that they give you for Emily. There's no way you could take it back with you to U.S. So, like, this is not real.
Right. And I think Kobe did a good job saying, well, there's a misunderstanding. Property just means we're responsible for her. We'll treat her like our sister. She still has her own say. And that's when Mother Lisa gave in.
Yeah. And maybe they used the wrong word, too. I mean, I think, you know, property does sound a certain way.
No, they meant property. They meant it. I meant that.
I think they knew what they were saying. Kobe just needed to translate it a little bit better.
Yeah, Kobe was like, that's not what they meant. Do-do-do. Yeah.
there's multiple definitions when you Google it. Yeah. So Dave is like, all right, we have our list. This is our first list ever. It's only one page. I hope it's a good list. And he starts to read it. And they're like, no. Don't read. Like, slide it over. Slide it over like you're – slide it across the table like you're making a deal.
Yeah.
So he slides it across the table, and we learn how much Emily is worth, which is about $2, 1,000 francs. Tell us how you really feel about your daughter, David.
I think it's being respectful, obviously. Like, you can't count anyone's money, so what do you ask for?
Yeah, of course. And so then I guess this turns into like almost like a scavenger hunt where you get this list, and then you have to go see if you can find everything on the list. And this is what we're saying about tradition. Like, this is awesome. I love this. Mm-hmm. You said Czech has some wacky traditions, and they sure do. We'll tell you about Czech Easter another day, but it's wild. And this is like one of those fun traditions where, cool, we have this list. Now we have to go out and try to find everything on the list. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
and I also like the idea of like, here's my, you're taking something of value from our family. Mainly like, you know, hands to help doing the washing and the cooking. And so thank you for giving me something in exchange for this person. And I think that makes sense when you think about a time when it was, you know, a different world that we lived in, and the way families made their money was usually off the land or by some kind of selling goods or whatnot. And so having your children leave, you know, less people to do work. So,
and maybe
I think it's interesting.
Maybe that's how Ashley has to think about sending $1,000 to Manuel's family. Here's the bride price.
Yeah,
and she's just paying the bride price.
Thank you for giving me your source of income. I'll repay you by giving you a little bit of money.
Yeah. So they have the meal, and apparently Emily did a fantastic job cooking. They were like, oh, she cooks better than some of the women here. So she nailed it.
Yeah.
Good for her. I feel like she, and I keep saying it on every single episode, but she really is trying. Like, I think, you know, we saw her in her first season and she was a little spoiled, a little bossy, and their relationship wasn't that great because I think they were trying to find ways to like live with each other. All of a sudden, like, oh, Kobe's here. We have a child and we live in our parents' basement. How can we navigate? But like on this season, she's been great. Like, she's going along with everything. She's there for Kobe. She's there for the traditions. Like, kudos to her.
So, went well. Knock door went well. And you think, okay, all's well, that ends well. But then there's one more thing. Emily brings up one little thing she wants to address. The ex-girlfriend. And Emily wants to meet Kobe's ex-girlfriend.
Ooh, don't go there.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
it's the dumbest idea.
It's the dumbest idea. You let sleeping dogs lie. I don't understand what good's going to come from this. If he's not talking to her, fantastic. And now you're making Kobe talk to her. You're making Kobe text her. Like, what good is going to come from this other than good television?
Well, yeah, that. And you're like, I just want to know when you guys actually broke up. Why?
I think she wants to know. I think she wants to know who's lying. Are Kobe's friends lying or is Kobe lying? Which there is a part of me that I'm like, okay, like I would probably want to know too, but not to the point that I would want to meet the ex. So like, yeah, that's in the past. Like, who cares? Like, me.
Yeah. Who cares? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I do, but
well, of course.
About this segment, because it's going to be fun.
So there we go. That's the episode. What an episode. Wow. Thank you for joining us for this episode. It was very fun. And of course, if you haven't listened to us talk about Ashley Madison, do that. And Wah, tell everyone again where they can find you and Chris. Where is Chris? Someone find Chris.
Yeah, Chris is, she's hiding in Vegas right now. So yeah, you can find Chris and I of DocuSweeties on anywhere you listen to podcasts, as well as on Instagram and TikTok at DocuSweeties. And we also have a Facebook group that is private, that is, you know, DocuSweeties Facebook group. So you can join us there too. But yes, thank you guys so much for having. It's so much fun. If you guys want to jump over to DocuSweeties, you'll see we did Ashley Madison with John and Teresa.
Yes. Awesome.
A lot of fun.
So yeah, thank you for having us, Juan. Thank you for coming on our podcast. We'll have to do it again soon when Chris is back.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.